Good morning. So today's daf is daf chaf. Let's pick up actually last two lines of your test amud beis. So Amar Rav Mori. Rav Mori said, Shema Mino, Rav from Mishnah. So remember again, in the Mishnah on Yuches Amud Aleph, we began the sugya of Tumantara. And we're going to be with Tumantara now for a little while. When I say a little while, I mean through the end of the Masechta. But it's only a little while. We only have another week in the Masechta. But the truth is, it happens to be, it's a lot of the inyanim that we're going to see over here, whereas there are Tumantara, when we generally see sugyas of Tumantara, and they seem to be a little esoteric for us, but yet, the audio is on. Yep. Good. Testing. Okay, says the Gemara. I'm sorry. Go to commercial. Amar Amari. Shmamina. Sweetheart said there are commercial slots. 30-second slots will cost you. So Amar Amari. Shmamina. Chulin shenasu atar sakodesh kodesh tamu. So Gemara says, well, Ramari says, we learn from our Mishnah, that if a person prepared chulin with the level of tara that one would normally reserve for kodesh, so remember again, one of the concepts that we were introduced to in the Mishnah is this notion that there are people who used to eat their chulin, but they would eat their chulin in a state of ritual purity as one would eat other consecrated items. So Amari says, we learn from our Mishnah, that chulin that were prepared with the same level of tara as kodesh, ki kodesh tamu, are treated like kodesh. So the Gemara says, Mimai, where do we know this? From top of Chof, mi deloka toni bohu malo. From the fact, Rabbi said that the Mishnah does not record a separate category. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Mi deloka toni bohu malo, lomar, big day prushin ha'ochlin chulin betaras chulin, medras la'ochle chulin betaras ha'kodesh. So we'll say the Mishnah did not say that the clothing of those who go ahead and eat their chulin, betaras chulin, are considered to be tumas medris for those who go ahead and eat their chulin betaras hakodesh. Shmamina bichlal kodesh hein v'hatana le'kodesh. So we'll say the point the Gemara is making over here is whereas the Mishnah made certain distinctions for those who eat their food in a certain state of ritual purity, their clothing is still considered to be, remember, tumas medris. Tumas medris means medris is the tuma of when a zav or a zava or a nida supports their weight on something, that conveys tumah to the particular item upon which they are supporting themselves. So that's tumas medras. So the fact that the Mishnah did not make a distinction like this indicates to us that chulin prepared with taras kodesh indeed have the status of kodesh itself. So the Gemara says, Vidilma haidilokatani bumala. Di damu lutruma. Vidilma haidilokatani bumala. But the Gemara says, well, maybe the fact that it did not go ahead and give it its own category, damu lutruma, may perhaps, again, it's telling us that what? That it's not comparable to kodesh, but perhaps chulin that were prepared in a state of tara are not comparable to kodesh, rather comparable to truma. Look at Rashi. Dilma. O kichulin damu, deloma hanibahu, mai da'amr, hai gavra de batladaita, o kichuma damu. Perhaps again, if you prepared chulin bitara or chulin bitara's kodesh is not comparable to kodesh, rather it's comparable to truma, which I will say again would be a couple of steps down from kodesh, or one step down from kodesh, but also a step above chulin, to which the Gemara says, hatani truma. That can't be because, again, the Mishnah specifically mentions truma. Vi'i damu l'chulin ha'tani chulin disnan chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh harayikin chulin. Because Rabbi Yosef, we learned that chulin that were made al taras hakodesh, which again Rabbi Yosef means were prepared with the level or treated with the specificity or treated with the care that one would normally reserve for kodesh, harayin kuchulin, they're still considered to be like chulin. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says harayin kitruma, that in fact they are like truma. Elam is safer. Rather, the way we learn out that chulin that were prepared on taras kodesh are considered to be like kodesh is from the seifa of the Mishnah. What was the seifa? Yosi ben Yoezer haya chasid shebe kahuna. So also remember the Mishnah quoted that Yosi ben Yoezer is one of the most pious men of the kahuna. V'haiso mitpachto medras lekodesh. And yet what? Remember, mitpachto was what? His handkerchief. His handkerchief was considered to have tumas medras for kodesh. Yochanan ben Gudguda, haya ochal al taras hakodesh kol yomav. On the other hand, Yochanan ben Gudguda used to go ahead and would eat even his chulin al taras kodesh, vayamit pachto medras lechatos. And yet his handkerchief was what? His handkerchief was considered tumas medras for chatos. Remember what's chatos? Chatos is para aduma. So what do we infer? So we'll say this is the operative phrase over here. So Yochanan ben Gudguda was an individual who would always eat even his chulin al taras kodesh, which means Rabosai, when we still means that he would treat his unconsecrated food the same way that what? That one would treat sacrificial items. But yet the Mishnah says that nevertheless his handkerchief was still considered to be tamei for someone who was preparing the ashes of the Parah Aduma. What do we see from here? Lechatos in Lekodesh lo. We see that his handkerchief only posed a problem for what? For those preparing the Parah Aduma, but did not pose a problem for what? For those ultimately engaged in Kodesh. What do you see from here? Alma kasavra chulin shenasu altaras Kodesh ki Kodesh. So we'll say, what do you see from here? A conclusive proof that when one indeed prepares their chulin in accordance with the standards of Kodesh, so that chulin indeed has the status of Kodesh. And we'll say, obviously, no one is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, the chulin is elevated in stature. But the idea is that if one is careful in preparing their chulin in the status of Kodesh, if another person who is ritually pure for Kodesh were to come in contact with that chulin, they would what? They would still be tahor. Okay? So now the Gemara begins a new sugya. Our Rebbe said, now the Gemara is going to begin the sugya of Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas means that yes. Remember, I also want to point out over here, I know everyone knows this, but I'll just restate it. We're really talking about over here rabbinic law, right? All of these concepts of ultimately are the Mishnah or rabbinic law. So another one of the rabbinic laws is that in order to go ahead and maintain the status of an item in a particular state of purity, you have to have constant awareness of the item. If there is a lapse of awareness, then by definition, the sanctity status of the item is compromised. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Listen to this. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar just said, Nafla ma'afraso hemenu. We'll say if a person's ma'afraso, Rashi says is a sudur, a person's cloak falls off their body. Amr lechavero tineli. So I say to my friend, do me a favor, can you pick that up and hand that to me? Vinasnal, and my friend gives it to me, tameya. Right? My cloak is tamei. My cloak is tamei. Now Rashi points out something very interesting over here. Tameya, vafilu zetahar. Even if my friend is tar. Now both sides, now we will see why that is. But by Pashtos, what Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar seems to be saying is that when my friend takes hold of it, that's considered hesech hadas. That's considered to be a lapse of awareness on my part. And therefore, again, the item becomes tamei. Again, I will say, this is rabbinic. Because remember, again, mid d'oraisa is anything. Now, again, if I don't know if my friend is tamei or tahar, that's one thing. But, you know, again, but if I know my friend's tamei, if I know my friend's tar, how do I know his tamei? You know, I will say, like, how do you know, like, after you give blood or after you vote, you know, you get, like, a sticker. Right? So, you know, he's wearing the sticker. I just went to the mikvah. You know, I'm tahar. I just, you know. So I know for a fact he's tar. The chiddush of Rabbi Yonasan is the item is still tamei. Says Rashi, why is the item still tamei? I don't want to give it away, but I'll give it away a little bit. Rashi says, "Ola kamon mefarish taima chazaka ein adam mishamer mashe biyad chavero." We'll say the Gemara later on is going to say because there's a chazaka that I don't have awareness. I don't have a chazaka for guarding something that's in the hands of my friend. The chiddush of that, of course, is what? Even though I'm looking directly at that item and it's never actually left my visual purview, nevertheless, again, it's a lapse in awareness. We'll see it later on. Next case, Amr Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram. Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram says, "Nischafu lo kelim shal Shabbos bekelim shal chovel avshan." Rabbi say, if I confuse my Shabbos clothing with my weekday clothing and I put them on, nitmu, the clothing is considered to be tamei. Rashi says, "Kelim shal Shabbos bekelim shal chol kasavar little begadav shal chol v'natal shal Shabbos." I meant to take my weekday suit, but instead I took my Shabbos clothing. Nitmu. Ultimately, the clothing is tamei. Rashi says, "Kasaka daite hashda the sfirle mishamer adavar becheska shehu davar zev v'nimta shu davar acher eno shamer." So, both say the assumption is because I took out the article of clothing, thinking that it was one article of clothing. So I had my das to go ahead and watch the ritual purity identity of one item, but it turned out it was something else, that's also considered to be a lapse in awareness. Next case. There was once an episode of two women, and they mixed up their clothing in the bathhouse. And the episode, they came to Rabbi Akiva because they didn't know again what was the halacha with their clothing. Vitiman, and Rabbi Akiva went ahead and was metame their clothing. Okay, so the Gemara says, Maskev Rabbi Oshia. Bathhouse doesn't have to be mikvah, by the way, right? Bathhouse is just bathhouse. So Rabbi Akiva went ahead and was metame their clothing. Maskev Rabbi Oshia, so Rabbi Oshia raised the kasha. Elame ata hoshit yado l'sal litol paschitin va'olsa biyado pasorim hachanami dinitmes. So you're going to say, so Rabbi Oshia comes along and says, well, let me ask you this question, Rabbi Akiva, right? If you go ahead and you stick your hand in the basket to go ahead and take a loaf of wheat bread, and instead you go ahead and you take a loaf of barley bread, so are you going to say now also that lamaisa, the item is tummy because again, you ended up taking a different item that you had intended? I mean, what Rabbi Oshia is saying to Rabbi Akiva is lamaisa, are you really ready to say that such even a minimal lapse of awareness like this is going to go ahead and create tumah? Maybe you'll say, actually, yes. That is dalacha bosa, because again, if you go ahead and you have a lapse of awareness of the item, you can no longer assume that the item has retained its ritual purity. So v'hatanya, but we learned hamishamer es achavis becheskas shal yain. Bosa, if I was watching a barrel. And again, I'm watching it really in this case of guarding it. I'm guarding it from ritual impurity, so from tumah. So I'm watching the barrel, assuming that it's a barrel of wine. The nimse shal shemen. And then what? It turns out that what is it? It's not wine, it's oil. So what's talacha? Tahora. Excuse me. Tahora milatame. So ultimately, again, it is tahora. Thank you. It is tahora. It is ritually pure from conveying tumah to anything else. So both say, what does that show you? That seems to indicate that what? That lemaisa, even if you think the item is A, but it turns out the item is B, that's not called hesechadas. And if you watch the item from becoming tame, the item still retains. If you kept watch on the item from to make sure that it remains tar, then it remains tar. To which the Gemara says, Ulatamech, but according to that reasoning, Emo Sefer, look at the end, Vasur Milecho. What does this one say? It's very interesting. Then what does the Braisa say? As much as the contents of the barrel are tahor, but what? You can't eat it. So the Gemara says, Amai, what are you talking about? Why can't you eat it? I'm supposed to say, meaning, remember, again, Mimar of Shach, if you're telling me that I successfully guarded it against Tumah, then Lamaisa, I should be able to eat it? And on the other hand, if I didn't guard it successfully, if I'm not allowed to eat it, then what? Then it should be tame. Rabbi Yirmiya, ba'omer shemartia medavra hametama velo medavra haposla. Oh, well, so listen to this. Where I said, you know what? I was vigilant to watch the barrel, that it should not come in contact with something that what? Would be metame it, but not necessarily something that would render it possible. So we will get into this in the next parak. Was there a steam tumah apostle? Well, say under normal circumstances like this, remember, the way tumah works is like this. Let's take a simple case. I come in contact with a corpse. A corpse is avia vosa tumah. So I go and I touch the corpse, I become an avatumah. I go ahead and I touch something else, I can make that into a rishon. A rishon can make a sheni, and a sheni can make a shlishi. Generally, a shlishi is where tumah ends, except we'll see by certain elements of kodesh, you could even make a revi. So we'll say, after you get to the lowest level of tumah, so you can't create any more gradations of tumah. However, what you can create is psul. Now we'll see the ramifications of psul in the next parak. Psul. So to which the Rabbi Yirmiyah says, what's the case over here? The case here is where I'm guarding the barrel, and I say, I was vigilant in guarding the barrel against anything that would make the contents tamei, but not necessarily vigilant against from anything that may make the contents of the barrel what? Pasul. Which Rabbi Oshia therefore means what? Lemaisa, I guarded it, let's say, from becoming from coming in contact with a rishon or a sheni, but not necessarily a shlishi. So therefore, again, that's what it means when it says it's still technically tar, but Rabbi Oshia, you can't eat something that is pasul. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Omiika nitirusa lapalga. So say, it doesn't make any sense. Is there such a thing like this? You're telling me then that literally I could guard the battle, you know, against becoming tame, but not against becoming pusle? Is it mean, we normally assume either you're guarding it or you're not guarding it. So what does this mean? Omiika nitirusa lapalga means, is there partial guarding? To which the Gemara says, In yes, actually there is. Vatanya, so the Gemara says, but is that true? Vatanya, but we learned. Hoshit yado basal. If a person put his hand in the basket, vasal al kesefo, and the basket's on his shoulder, vamagrefa besocha sal, and he has a shovel inside of the basket, vahaya balibo ala sal, valahaya balibo ala magrefa, and what happened? He had in mind to go ahead and watch the basket, but he did not have in mind to go ahead and watch the ritual purity of the shovel. What's the halacha? Hasal tahar, the basket is tar, v'amagrefa tmeya, and the basket is tummy. So we'll say, what do you see from there? That you can have a partial watching, right? Even though, again, the shovel is in the basket, lemaisa, because I do not have intention to watch the shovel, the basket retains its ritual purity, but the shovel does not. To which the Gemara says, hasal tahar, v'amagrefa tmeya, hasal, so the Gemara says, hasal tahar, t'tami amagrefa l'sal. But if that's the case, we'll say, no, if you're going to say like this, so now you're telling me that what? Because I had intention to watch the basket, but not the shovel, so the shovel will become tummy. And I both say, when we see the shovel become tummy, what does that mean? Remember, we're talking rabbinically. So when we see the shovel become tummy, what that means is, any time you are not vigilant about safeguarding the ritual, the ritual purity of an item, we assume rabbinically it becomes tummy. So now I will say, if you're going to tell me that lemaisa, the shovel becomes tummy, then what? Then what? Then lemaisa, at the end of the day, what that means is that the shovel should then be metame the basket. To which the Gemara says, no, ain kli metame, ain kli metame kli. One utensil cannot go ahead and be metame another utensil. So the Gemara says, velitma ma shebesal. So why doesn't the shovel go ahead and be metame the other contents of the basket itself? To which the Gemara says, amar avina, ba'omer shemartiv midavar shemetamo, velo midavar haposlo. Because we'll say, what do I say? I say that I was able to watch the contents of the basket from anything that would be metame, but not to say for something that would go ahead and passel it. The Gemara says, Mikol Makom, Kasha, but nevertheless, I'll say this poses a question to the case of the barrel, like we said before, the case of the barrel, to which the Gemara says, Va'od Mosif Rabba Ravua. Furthermore, Rabba Ravua raises another Kasha. What's the Kasha? Masa bi'isha acha shebasalethni Rabbi Yishmael. There was once a woman who came before Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say again, what we're holding right now is that the question, Rashi's Kasha, Hadik Tani Bat Torah Milatame. So again, the Kasha on the original case of the barrel still applies. Because remember the case of the barrel? The case of the barrel was where I was watching a barrel. I thought the contents were wine, but in reality, they were oil. So what did the Mishnah say? What did the Braisa say? The Braisa said that the contents don't have the ability to go ahead and convey Tumah. But what? But what? But Lamaisa. Right, the pasul, you still can't eat it. So again, Rabosai, so we're still left with the same kasha. Furthermore, va'od mosiv rabba ravua, ma'asa bi'isha acha shabasat ni Rabbi Shmo. There was once an episode of a woman came for Rabbi Shmo. Va'amr lo, Rabbi, beged ze aragtiv betara, I wove this garment, I wove this beged, this piece of material, in a state of tara. However, v'lo haya b'libi l'shomra betara. So it's a very interesting case. So she says, Rabbi Shmo, I wove this beged, I wove this garment, this piece of material in a state of tara. But to be honest, I didn't have in mind the entire time to watch it. I didn't have in mind the entire time to watch that it should remain tahar. So she was asking, what is the status of the particular beged? Like you look at Rashi, Araktiv Bitara, Yodas Ani, Shemisha Shenerag Bo Gimo Al Gimo Etzbos, Shenira Latuma, Lo Naga Bo Tuma, Umiko Makom Lahaya Bali Bili Shomra. Suppose I listen to this case. So remember, a garment, a piece of fabric, is only Mikabel Tuma when it's 3 finger breaths by 3 finger breaths. So she says, from the time it became three finger breaths, I know that I wove it only in a state of Tara. But I can't tell you that I always had in mind that it should be in a Tara state. So what happened? Rabbi Shmuel asked her a series of questions. Amrolo, she said to him, Rabbi, nida mashcha imi bechevel. I just remembered that at one point in time when I was weaving, another woman who was a nida helped me pull the thread from the loom. So it's like, again, so here's what's amazing, is that she didn't remember this, but now she remembered it afterwards. And in fact, Anita, who is Tamea, helped her with the weaving. And as such, again, the status of the garment was what? Was that it was Tamei. I'm going to be Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said when he heard this, Kama gidon divrei chachamim. See how great the words of our chachamim are. She omrim belibo l'shamra tahar. Ain belibo l'shamra tamei. Rabosai, because that's how the chachamim said what? If Rabosai, if you were mentally vigilant in keeping the beged tahar, then the beged is tahar. But if you were not mentally vigilant, then what? Then you may not assume it's tahar. So what's amazing, Rabosai, is Rabbi Shmuel says, look at this case. This woman was so convinced that the beged was tahar, even though what? She did not maintain a constant awareness of the tahar of the beged. And yet, upon further reflection and questioning, it turned out that what? That lamaisa, the beged, was really tamea. Shuv maisa bi'isha achos. Shabbosat ni Rabbi Shmuel. There was another episode of a woman who came for Rabbi Shmuel. Amrlo, she said to him, Rabbi, mapazu araktia b'tara. Rabbi, I wove this particular garment with Tara. V'lo haya belibi l'shomra. But again, I didn't have in mind that I should guard it from ritual purity. But again, but she was convinced, still, meaning what she was saying, I didn't have in mind, meaning I didn't maintain a constant awareness of it. But I'm pretty sure it's tar. Umitoch bediko sher mishma botka. And Rabbi Shmuel asked her a series of questions. Amrlo, she said to him, Rebbe, Nema Nifsakali, the truth is now I remember, one time the thread broke. Ukishartia befe, I tied it with my mouth. And what? Rashi points out over here, it's in Rashi Nifsikali, Kodim Sharakti Baklum, the Kashartia Bepe, Kodim Sharakti Baklum, Shalo Haisa Ruoyalatuma, Vlonis Harti Bavlo Haisi Tevula Lini Dasi. We'll say, so what's the case? So she remembered, you know what, before I started going ahead and even weaving the garment, the thread broke. I tied it together with my mouth. I was Anita. And I will say, what do you have to be choshesh for? The saliva of Anita has the ability to convey tuma. And I don't know if by the time I went ahead and wove it into a garment of three finger breaths, by three finger breaths, what? The saliva dried or not. So I will say, amazingly enough, upon further questioning, it turned out that it was not clear whether or not it was actually done in Tara. Amr Bishmar Bishmal said, Kama gidon divrei chachamim. Look how great the words of our rabbis are. She omrim belibo l'shomro tahar, ein belibo l'shomro tamei. That's why the rabbi said, the only time you could ensure the tahara of a particular item is if what? Is if you were absolutely intellectually present and vigilant the entire time to make sure that the tahara remained. But if you had a lapse of awareness, even if you're sure that it's still tar, it is still tamei. Bishlam, the Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadok. So I understand the case of Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadok. Remember, what was the case? This is going back now to the beginning of the Gemara. What did Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadok say? Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadok's case was the case of the two women whose clothing got mixed up in the bathhouse, and Rabbi Akiva Paskin that both sets of clothing are tamei. I understand that case. Why? Kol achas va'achas omeres chavirasi eishes am ha'aretz. I understand why Rabbi Akiva said that the clothing of both of those cases is tami wa rabosai, because the ma'aseh, each woman says what? Oh, my friend, she's married to an amaretz, right? Meaning, rabosai, now again, remember, that's not as insulting as it sounds. I guess that's not true. It's kind of insulting, right? But the idea is, what she's saying is, I know my friend, she's a wonderful lady, but the truth is her husband's not very knowledgeable, and chances are they don't conduct themselves in a state of constant ritual purity for their garments, and therefore, again, if she took my garments accidentally, I have to assume that my garments are tamei. However, the Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram Nami, Kavan the Kalim, so I will say the case of Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, what was the case of Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram? That's where what? I went in to take my Shabbos clothing, or I went in to actually to take, which one was it? I went in to take, right, I wanted to take my weekday clothing, but I ended up taking my Shabbos clothing. So I understand in that case also why. Kavan de Kalim de Shabbos Ovid Lehu Shimur Tvei Masach Da'atayu Minayu. Because must say again, interestingly, the Gemara says that a person is normally more vigilant with their Shabbos clothing than with their weekday clothing. So I remember I thought I was taking my weekday suit. It turned out that I was taking my Shabbos suit, which means I perhaps had a lower level of tumah vigilance. Bless you. That's why I understand now why the suit becomes tameh. Look at Rashi. Kevan de kelim de Shabbos avelu shimur tvei v'zeh savor she'elu shachol. Now I took my Shabbos suit, but I thought it was my weekday suit. Ascha daite mishmira ma'al yosa. I removed my das from a true proper shmira. She regular shomer ke ain beliba l'shomer dame. So I understand why in that case, Rabbi Osai, where I think I'm taking my weekday suit, but indeed I'm taking my Shabbos suit. I understand why the Shabbos suit becomes tame, because again I have a lesser level of shmira by my weekday clothing. However, again, El Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar. But I will say, for the case of Yonasan ben Elazar, remember what was that case? That was the case, I will say, where my cloak falls off my shoulders, and what? I tell my friend, please pick that up. So what Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar said, he said the halacha is that the cloak is still tame. So he says, I don't understand. Na'avid lehe lehu shimor biyadei dechavid. I will say, there's no reason I'm standing. Remember, I will say, what's the case? The cloak fell off my shoulders. Reuven is right there. Say, Reuven, do me a tova. Right, go ahead and pick up the cloak for me. Now I'm looking. I have visual contact with the cloak the entire time. So why should it be tame? There's no lapse of tahara awareness that entire time. Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you why. Chazaka ain adam mishamer ma shebiat chavira. I will say, because there is a chazaka. There is an assumption that what? I don't guard things that are in my friend's hand. Now, the chiddush, of course, of that is, even if what? Even if I'm looking right at it. Right? See, even if, again, it's right here, my friends, I just fell off my shoulder, my friend's picking it up, there's a chazakah. We don't properly watch things that aren't... The only thing I could take full responsibility for are things that I have. But once it's in my friend's hand, there's a chazakah that I'm not watching it properly. Therefore what? Therefore that lapse of Shimor essentially makes the cloak tame. Velo, is that true? That I don't watch things that are not in my hand? Va'atanya, but we learn. It was an interesting case. So let's say again, I have workers. Chamarav literally are my camel drivers. Polav are my workers, and I'm having them transport taros. I'm having them transport things for me that are ritually pure. Rashi says, first of all, Rabbi says chamarav upolav. Now my workers and my camel drivers are ame haaretz, which means they're people who are not normally careful with the laws of tuman tara, but they're transporting for me taros. Rashi says kigon yain bechavio shalcheres. Vehein einon nogin besochon ukli cheres einon mitami begabon. This is actually very interesting. So what happened? I'm having my workers who are ame aretz, not careful with tuman tara, transporting my wine. Now, if I'm smart, what am I going to do? I'm going to put that wine in earthenware utensils. Why? Because the interesting part about earthenware is earthenware only contracts tuma on the inside, which means that technically speaking, if somebody tame touches the outside of the earthenware vessel, it is not metame. So it's just an extra precaution I take when I know that ame haaretz are handling my stuff. So says the Braisa, I go ahead and I give to my workers to transport taros. Afalpi. So Rashi says over here, afalpi shehiflig mehen yoser mimil. Even though what? Now I'll say, I'm not necessarily traveling with my workers the entire way. They perhaps go a little bit ahead of me, or I go a little bit ahead of them. And there could be a mill in between us, a significant distance. Tarosav tahoros. I could still assume that what? That my taros are still tar. My taros, and Rashi says, tarosav tahoros, ve'in choshishin shema nigu. Nagu. And I don't have to be choshish that perhaps they touch the inside of the barrel. Dechevan de lahodian shu mafli kol shaita savri hashta asi. Ama adam shamer mashabiat chavero. Now, I'll say, again, Rashi points out over here, also my workers don't necessarily know if I'm going, if I'm coming. So that I don't have to assume, I can assume that they did not touch the inside of the barrel, and therefore what? And therefore they would, therefore the inside of the barrel, therefore the contents would remain tar. So I'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, I can maintain shimur. I can maintain a guarding, a tara vigilance over what? Over what? Something that is in someone else's hands. Something I've entrusted to a friend. If that's the case again, then the case of the cloak should be tahor as well. However, again, the Braisa finishes up. However, again, if I tell them, you know what, you guys go ahead and I'll catch up with you at some later time. But Rabosa, if I tell the workers, you guys go ahead, I'll catch up with you later, which is another way of saying, what? You're not going to see me for a while. Then what? Then at that point in time, again, the Shimor is over, and I have to assume that everything in the barrel has now become Tomei. To which the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the first case and the second case? You know, so why, I mean, in both cases, I'm not traveling with my workers. And yet, in the first case, again, my taros still remain tar. And in the second case, yet my taros become tame. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, I'll tell you why. Reisha b'metar chamara v'po'alav. Oh, the first case of Osa is where what? I make my workers go to the mikvah first. I make them become tar. So I make them become tar. So because they make them come to Rashi, he says, "I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Mitar Chamar of Polov. Uli Olam Ain Adam Shemar Mashi Biat Chaveru. Vahani Ain Tzrichen Shimor. Di Nami Nagu Lo If Lo It Lo Ichpas Lo Ketishet Vilon Kachaskinon." So we'll say again. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Remember, why are we bringing this up? We're bringing up this case because this seems to pose a kasha to what we just to Rabbi Yonasan." To Rabbi Yonasan Ben Elazar. Remember again, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Elazar just said that in the case I'm wearing my cloak is tar. My cloak falls off my shoulders. I ask Reuven to pick it up. Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar says, oh, the cloak is tamei. Why? Because we just said, the Gemara said, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Chazaka ein adam mishamer mashe biyad chaveiro. Chazaka, I don't guard something that's not in my hands. So now we're bringing this case as a kasha. Because in this case over here, it seems to be that what? That Lamaisa, I can guard something that is not in my hand. So now the Gemara says, well, why in case number one, do I consider the contents of the barrel to be still be tar, even though I'm not traveling with them, but in case number two, it's not? To which not Yitzchak Nafcha says, I'll tell you why. Because in case number one, I made my workers and donkey drivers go to the mikvah. So they're tar. So Rabbi say, if they're tar, then what? Even if they pop open that barrel and stick their finger inside, nevertheless, what? But it doesn't matter because you're tar. They're not going to even tell me anything. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Ihachi Seifanami. Seifanami. If that's the case, Lamaisa again, if that's the case, they went to the mikvah, see, even in the safe, what's the safe case? Say, where I tell them, listen, you guys go ahead, I'll catch up with you later. The Braisa ruled that in that case, the contents of the barrel become tame. But why? If they're tar, then it shouldn't matter. To which the Gemara says, Ein am ha'aretz makpid amaga chaver. No, the safe is problematic, why Rabosai? Because as much as the donkey drivers and workers are tame, and am ha'aretz is not makpid about what? About someone else who is tame touching the item they are transporting. So whereas I'm not concerned about the workers being metame the item, I'm concerned about what? Them, the Am Haaretz workers, letting someone else touch the items and make it tame like that. If that's the case, Ihachi, Reishanami. If that's the case, again, that we're concerned that the Am Haaretz is going to let someone else whose tame touch it, that should be a problem in the first case as well. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Bevalahem derech akalson. The case of Rabosai, a kalson literally means in a diagonal. What it means is that in the first case of Rabosai, that I tell the workers, I'm going to catch up with you, but I don't tell them when. And therefore what? At any point in time, right? It's kind of like a mashkiach, a yotzei v'nichnas, right? At any point in time, I, the proprietor, I, the balabas, could show up. So because of that, what? The workers will always be vigilant not to let their friends touch my stuff. Because Lamai says, since I could show up at any moment, and if they realize, and if I, the balabas, see that they've tampered with my taros, what's going to happen? They're going to get fired. They're going to lose their job. So they want to be careful to maintain their job. To which they want to say, well, if that's the case, Ihachi Seifanami. But if that's the case that I could show up at any time, then Lamai says, why don't we say the same thing in the second case of the Braisa as well? Oh, Kevan da Amar Lahem Luchu, Vani Avo Acharechem. Mismach samcha daitaihu. So I said, no. Because I did, in the second case, I did the worst possible thing an employer could ever do. What's the worst thing an employer could ever do? Tell his employees, I'm not going to be back for a while, right? because at that moment, again, when he tells his employees, you know, I'm going to catch up with you, but it's going to be a while until I catch up with you. Then, I'm sorry?
It's a break. very excited.
The register's open.
The register's open, and I'm not going to be here for a while. Then Lamaisa, again, everything goes haywire. So we'll say what comes out over here, Lamaisa. So therefore, again, what comes out from this Gemara is like this. That really, Rabbi Yochanan's statement still stands. That Chazaka in Adam Shamer Mashabiyat Chavero is still true. That I don't guard something that is in my friend's hand. I can only take full Shima responsibility over something that I have in my own hand. The difference in the case of the Braisa is that Lanaisa, if I went ahead and am transporting Taros, and I went ahead and I made all of my workers become Tahara as well, as long as my workers know that there's the possibility that what? That I am going to show up at any given moment, then Lamaisa, we assume that the Tara status of the items remain intact. But Lamaisa, if either my workers are not Tame, or my workers are not Tara, or they know that it could be a long time until I show up, then Lamaisa, again, the Tara integrity of the items has in fact been compromised. Hajna Lach Ein Darshan. Let's do the Mishnah. Chomer Bekodesh Mevitshuma. Now we're going to compare the various types of tahor items. So there is a stringency that Kodesh, remember again, Kodesh refers to sacrificial items, that Kodesh has over Truma. What's the stringency? Remember, Rabbosai, both to partake of Kodesh as well as to partake of Truma, you need to be in a state of ritual purity. But yet, the purity, so to speak, for Kodesh is greater than Truma. Why? Shemat bilin kelim besoch kelim le Truma, avalo le Kodesh. Rabbosai, so if let's say I have to immerse utensils for use with Truma, I could put one utensil inside of the other and immerse them like that. Assuming that what? Assuming, of course, that the water of the mikvah could touch all of the utensils. But I don't have to separate everything out. I could just put it all in there. And as long as I know for a fact that they're loose enough that the water could get in there, that's fine. That works for Truma, but does not work if you're immersing utensils for Kodesh, for carbon purposes. Similarly, Achorayim v'toch u'beis hatzvito, b'truma aval lo b'kodesh. Rabbi say, we'll see what this means. Achorayim means the outside of the utensil. Toch means the inside of the utensil. And beis hatzvita, the Gemara is going to define what beis hatzvita means, is b'truma aval lo b'kodesh. Rabbi say, what this is talking about, we'll see this in the Gemara, this means the following. Sometimes you have a utensil where a utensil could be used in many different ways. The outside of the utensil could be used, the inside of the utensil could be used, and what the Gemara calls the Beis HaTzvita, Mishnah calls the Beis HaTzvita, could be used. When it comes to Truma Rabosai, let's say again, if the outside of the utensil became Tameh, that does not automatically mean what? That the entire utensil became Tameh. However, again, when it comes to Kodesh, for sacrificial purposes, once part of the utensil becomes Tameh, then what? Then the entire utensil becomes Tameh. Next, Hanosi es HaMedras, Nosi es HaChuma. If somebody is carrying Medras, Rashi says, for example, Minal Shel Zav. If I'm carrying the shoe of a Zav, so the shoe of a Zav is a perfect example of Medras, because what is a shoe? The Zav puts all of his weight on top of the shoe, therefore, again, it has Tumas Medras. So if I'm carrying Medras, Nosi es HaChuma, Rashi says, Bechavis Shinogea Ba'avir. Suppose I, if I'm carrying the shoe of a Zav, I am permitted to carry in the other hand a barrel of Truma. However, avalo es hakodesh. But I am not permitted to go ahead and what? Carry a barrel of kodesh, of sacrificial items. Furthermore, bigde ochle truma, the clothing of those who eat truma, medras le kodesh. We'll say that we actually saw in the previous Mishnah, are considered to be tumas medras for those who go ahead and eat sacrificial items. Lo kemidas hakodesh, midas hatruma. The mita, literally the attributes of kodesh, are not the same as truma. How so? Shebe kodesh matir umenagev umatbil va'achar kach kosher. So we'll say, listen to this. If I have a garment that I want to go ahead and immerse in a mikvah for kodesh purposes, what do I have to do? First, I have to untie any knots that there may be in the garment. Furthermore, I have to make sure that the garment is dry before I go ahead and tovel it. And then I could tovel it, and then I could retie the knots. That's for kodesh. However, uba truma, when it comes to truma, Rabbi say, what is the halacha? Kosher v'achakach matpil. For truma, if I have knots in the garment, then lemaisa, Lemaisa, I do not have to untie it before going ahead and immersing it. So Rashi points out over here that essentially when it comes to Kodesh, the knots are considered to be a chatzitza, are considered to be an interposition between the garment and the water, but yet for Truma purposes, the knots are not considered to be an interposition. Rabosai, now the dryness, Rashi says, Umenagev, Imlachu Menagvo Tchil, V'achach Matbilo, V'chozem Yishum Dedomi L'chatzitza. This is very interesting. So we will see this more in the Gemara, but if you have an item that's wet, interestingly enough, for Kodesh purposes, the wetness that's not from the mikvah is considered to be a chatzitza for the main mikvah. Therefore, the object must be totally dry before immersing it, but that's only true for Kodesh, not for Truma. Kalim hadigmarim betara. Let's say you have utensils that were produced in a state of tara. So you can have this, by the way. So meaning, let's say again, I run a factory. I'm a Jewish guy. I run a factory. And my specialty is not only do I build kelim, but I'll say it's like the same way that, you know, sometimes you could buy utensils that have already been toveled, right? There's some stores that advertise, it's a service, already been toveled. So, but, oh, I'm sorry. You could buy in town utensils that have already been toveled.
Yeah.
You need to, you need to get out more. Right? So now I'll say, interestingly enough, let's say again, I sell utensils that were made in a state of ritual purity. Meaning in my factory, the workers go to the mikveh every single day before work starts. So we guarantee that all the kelim we produce are ritually pure. So the halacha is, tzrichin tevila lekodesh avalo l'truma. So I could buy them and right out of the box, I could use it for truma, but I can't use it for kodesh. It has to be toveled again for kodesh purposes. Hakli mitzarif masha v'socho lekodesh. Avalolu Truma. Both says another very interesting case. Rashi says over a kli mitzarif masha b'socho ochlim chatichos harbe b'kli echad v'naga tamei be'echad mehem a kli mitzarif al yos kulen chatichos achas v'nitma kulen. Both listen to this. If I have a utensil and in those utensils are 5 figs and someone who's tamei touches one of those figs, Rabosai, for Kodesh purposes, that utensil makes all of those figs as if what? They're one fig, and therefore when the Tamei person touches one, they all become Tamei. But that is not true for Truma purposes. For Truma purposes, if again the Tamei person touched one of the figs, only that one fig is Tamei, everything else is Tar. Haravi'i b'Kodesh pasul, v'ashlishi b'Truma. Rabosai, when it comes to Kodesh, so you could have even a level of Revi'i, we mentioned this before, even a fourth tier of Tuma. However, by Truma, the last tier of Tuma is a Shlishi. Ube Truma, furthermore, when it comes to Truma, in nitmes achas miyadav, chaverta tarba. So when it comes to matters of Truma, even if one hand became tame, then what? The other hand is still tar. Meaning, Rabbi say, when it comes to truma purposes, you can have part of your body become tame without the entirety of your body. However, again, Rabbi say, and Rashi again points out for the umpteenth time, this is all talking about tuma midrabanan. Because remember, biblical tuma, when it's talking about biblical tuma, you're fully tame. Only rabbinic tuma. So when it comes to rabbinic tuma by truma, one hand can be tame, one hand can be tar. Ube kodesh mat bil shtehen. However, again, when it comes to Kodesh, Rabosai, once one hand is Tamei, both hands are Tamei. You'd have to immerse both of them. Shayad metame es chavet haba Kodesh, aval lo b'truma. Because one hand is metame the other when it comes to Kodesh, but not by truma. Ochlin niguvim b'yadayim esu avas b'truma, aval lo b'kodesh. Similarly, you could go ahead and eat. Ochlin neguvim, Rabosai, ochlin neguvim means dried food. Dried food, which means, remember, the only way that food can become tame is if what? Is if it's wet. So you can eat dried food, biyadai misu avos. Yadai misu avos literally means dirty hands. It means tame hands, but chuma. I mean, Rabosai, what is very interesting is, I can go ahead and eat food, let's say truma, that is dry, even with hands that are ritually impure. Yadai misu avos, rabbinically impure. Why? Because since the truma item is dry, therefore what? My hands cannot communicate truma to the item. However, lo b'kodesh, Rabbi said this is not true when it comes to karbanos. When it comes to karbanos, again, even if the sacrificial item is dry, therefore it's not mekabel truma, you still cannot eat it with what? With impure hands. Next, top of Chaf Aleph, ha'onein V'amechusr kippur. Rabbah saying onen. Rashi says shalonithman b'meisa. Rabbah saying, now remember, the onen is the individual who lost the loved one, but prior to the levaya, prior to the funeral. So he's not yet tamei meis. Ha'onen v'amechusr kippur. Rabbah saying, mechusr kippur. And Rashi says, it's kegon zav. Shetava liyom shvi l'sviraso. V'heriv shmasho. Ula machara sukari mechusr kippur. Shadain gamartaraso tli b'kabano. So it's like, mechusr kippur means, let's say, a zav who has already, he's already observed his days of purity. He's already gone to the mikvah. But what does he need to do, right? He needs, the next day, he needs to bring his karbanos. What's the halacha? Tzrichin tevilin lekodesh rabosai. So remember, these are each individual's, remember, onen is someone who has encountered a loss, but there's not yet tumas meis. Mechusr kippur has already gone to the mikvah, but has not yet brought his karbanos. These individuals, tzrichin tevilin lekodesh, they must go to the mikvah prior to partaking of sacrificial items. However, avalo l'truma. But Rabosei Lemais, if they want to partake of truma, they can partake of truma even without going to the mikvah. Rabosei, we'll stop over here. Emir, again, obviously, we haven't explained the whys. That'll be in the Gemara. We'll stop over here. Just remember, Rabosei, we start tomorrow 5:45. I'm just wondering if maybe we should start 5:40. Because the truth is, remember, we start Slichos at 6:20.
Really short daf.
All right. start 5:45. Okay. I don't want to hear it if you have homework. If you have homework, you can take it on yourself.